Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Timothy Goh. Now, the Energy Market Authority, which regulates Singapore's energy supply, has announced that it's working with all generation companies to track their fuel supply levels and generating capacity. This announcement followed the folding of a number of electricity retailers here in Singapore.
Well, a global fuel crunch has caused the prices of natural gas to skyrocket, which has in turn led to the exit of three electricity retailers in Singapore so far. So could alternatives such as solar help to tackle such issues in the future?
Well, to find out, we're joined on the line now by Fraser Thompson, who is the Chief Strategy Officer from Sun Cable. Fraser, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks for having me, Rachel and Tim.
Good to have you with us. So let's start off with the current situation, because a global gas crunch is really putting pressure on energy prices, pushing up prices. And here in Singapore, as we've just mentioned, a number of electricity retailers have been feeling the heat and they've folded. What are your thoughts on the triggers behind the jump in prices?
It's an extraordinary time right now in the energy markets in Singapore. And there's really two things behind this jump. One is that we're seeing surging demand for electricity, particularly as we in the post-COVID rebound and different sectors start to open up, and we're playing a bit of catch-up in economic growth. And that's been coupled with severe challenges in supply. Some of them are more local. So if we look at Indonesia, we've had the constraints on the gas pipeline to Singapore. But a lot of that is international. So 95% of Singapore's energy mix is from natural gas. And that makes Singapore dependent on international markets. And a lot of these triggers of these increases have been very far away from Singapore. They've been with constraints in natural gas supply and coal supply in very distant challenges. But nonetheless, because Singapore has 95% of its energy mix in natural gas, Singapore feels the brunt of those big swings in terms of prices. And that's going to be something to manage going forward, because the demand is going to surge going forward. We know that with EVs, we know with the Singapore's food security 30 by 30 plan, we know of increasing data center consumption. All of these are really energy intensive sectors. So we need to find ways to really get the right kind of supply to support the growth of these industries.
Fraser, earlier this week, one of the world's largest renewable energy infrastructure projects, the Australia-Asia Power Link, which will attempt to supply renewable electricity to Darwin and Singapore, reach another milestone with the announcement of integrated project delivery team. Can you tell us more about this project and what the timeline is we're looking at?
Sure, very happy to. So the Australia-Asia Power Link is a flagship project of Sun Cable. And essentially, Sun Cable's mission is to take renewable electricity where it's abundant and low cost to places where there's high demand for it, but there's a lack of local availability of renewable energy resources. And Australia happens to be blessed with a huge amount of renewable energy potential. So in Northern Territory, where our project is located, it actually has one of the highest solar radiance measures in the world. So an incredibly solar efficient location. It also has lots of land. And Singapore has neither the solar efficiency because of the cloud cover, and obviously land is a huge constraint. So what effectively our project does is it is building the world's largest solar farm of 17 to 20 gigawatts, with the world's largest battery of 36 to 42 gigawatt hours, and then connecting that to Darwin and then to Singapore through the world's longest undersea cable. And that'll supply roughly 15% of Singapore's energy mix by around 2027 at 2028.
We're speaking with Fraser Thompson, Chief Strategy Officer from Sun Cable. And Fraser, you mentioned 15%, so that's quite a significant move. How do you see this shaking up Singapore's energy mix in the longer term? Because as you also mentioned earlier on, 95% of Singapore's electricity is generated by natural gas.
Singapore's at a real inflection point at the moment. As I mentioned earlier, there is surging demand for energy, but not just any types of energy, particularly renewable electricity. If you look at the data centers here, many of them have pledged to be 100% renewable. If you look at semiconductor industry here, again, pledged to be renewable. Obviously, there's EVs, which the whole point of EVs to reduce emissions is that they're through renewable electricity. And also Singapore's 30 by 30 food security plan, where vertical farming and so forth are quite energy intensive. So there's a huge need for this electricity. We know that natural gas is not going to get there. It obviously has played an important part in the energy system so far, but the forecast of natural gas prices is roughly a 30% increase today from the mid-2040s. And also, of course, there's the carbon emissions associated with that. So what the aim of the our project is really to help Singapore diversify those electricity mix, and that will hopefully soften the blow of potential more volatility in international markets. So we're talking roughly about 15% supply by 2027, 2028. So obviously we still need to figure out the other 85%, and that'll be obviously a mix of natural gas, but hopefully other renewable energy projects. But we think the upside is really big. Our project alone can help Singapore meet its 2030 carbon commitments. So just doing nothing else but just our project is enough to reduce that abatement gap that Singapore needs in its current targets in emissions. But beyond that, we see this as a real enabler for growth. So a lot of FDI in the future is going to be contingent on access to 100% renewable electricity. Google, for example, has said all the data centers will be run on 100% renewable electricity. So we think this is a really important enabler for Singapore's economy going forward and a big part of that 2030 green plan.
Fraser, what does this mean for consumers when it comes to pricing? Because pricing pressures are what's really kind of eaten into the industry over the past few weeks. So longer term, how is this mix going to, I guess, trickle down to consumers when they're looking at their energy bill?
Yeah, look, it's a really important question, right? And all consumers are feeling the pain right now in their energy bills. Our project, and more importantly, diversification of these energy resources, helps to reduce the volatility in energy prices. So the challenge with natural gas is that it's linked to oil prices, and so a shock in one part of the system has knock-on effects all the way down the line. If you compare that to a solar project, we can forecast the price for the next 40 years, because once we've generated it, it's capex intensive, but then it's a very manageable cash flow. And so there's a lot of great international examples that show how solar resources at scale have helped to create stable and lower cost access for consumers. And all the analysis so far on SunCable, as you can imagine, we've done quite a bit, shows that we can deliver not only a large scale renewable electricity to Singapore in a reliable way, but also in a really cost effective way, so it doesn't hit consumers' back pockets.
Okay, Fraser, let's talk about solar power then. We have an abundance of sunlight as well. So is there a bigger role that solar can play in the alternative energy mix?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. And it's, there's some solar here in Singapore, which we should definitely try to encourage and grow. The challenge we have in Singapore, as we know, is that we have a lot of cloud cover. And so the solar resources are not as efficient as other parts in the world. And just to put that in context, the same solar panel in the Northern Territory in Australia where our solar farm is gets 31% more energy than an equivalent one in Singapore. So there's an efficiency challenge, but there's also just a space challenge. You know? And Singapore has been very creative. We've put on our reservoirs, we've put on our buildings, but still it will be hard to keep pace with that alone. So it's necessary, but not sufficient. And so this is where imported electricity will be really a crucial part of the mix. And just to give a sense of, I guess, the size of the opportunity, if you look in Europe at the moment, 12% of electricity is traded across borders. And a lot of that is renewable electricity. And they do that because they realize it improves the grid stability, but it also gives better access to lower cost energy sources for countries that don't have that access. Here in Asia, we're only at 0.3%. So we're really at just the start of the journey. But the upside potential is not just Singapore, but across the region, if we can scale up that cross-border electricity and connect grids to where there's low-cost, abundant renewable electricity, is really enormous, not for just the carbon emissions, but also from a livelihood standpoint in terms of job creation and economic potential. So we do believe there's a big opportunity for solar. There's obviously, for different places, there'll be some wind resources. Hydro, although it does have its challenges from a biodiversity standpoint, and other resources will also be important as part of that mix.
Wonderful, Fraser. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and sharing all of those insights and updates into what's moving in the energy market.
Thank you, Rachel and Tim.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Fraser Thompson, Chief Strategy Officer from SunCable. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.